You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, I was able to talk to Wise Blood, who is an American artist and vocalist. She has the most phenomenal voice, really resonates through whether you're listening to it on your headphones or through your speakers. Or if you get the opportunity, she is going to be playing tomorrow in Altea Square at 2 p.m. and it's a free show. Or if you want to go have an evening with Wise Blood, you can see her playing at Whammy Bar on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. and you can get tickets. They're $35 and it's one you don't want to miss. She's a rising star, and we talked a lot about her newest album and how she has had influences from her upbringing. Her family was very musical. We also talk a lot about one of her tracks, which is Generation Y, and she uses the acronym YOLO within the piece of music, and also what it was like for her to be within the music industry and be a female, and her views on female artistry, within the music industry. This is my interview with Wise Blood. Forgive me, I pronounced her name wrong within the interview because I didn't learn that it's actually pronounced Wise Blood instead of Waze Blood, so you'll just have to bear with me on that mistake. Enjoy.
I started playing piano when I was 6 years old, and I kind of would listen to movie soundtracks and try to recreate that on the piano. And I was doing a lot of singing too with my family. I kind of have a musical family, and I always just really liked the feeling that music gave me, this kind of how it could control my emotions and suddenly change my mood or make my mood better. Really powerful stuff.
And how did you grow and develop Wise Blood from that?
Well, I started playing around that time. And then when I was, 12 years old, I started playing guitar, and that was kind of the beginnings of, songwriting, mostly instrumentals at first, then eventually, writing songs with words and recording on a 4-track. And I think I started listening to a lot of classical music and flamenco guitar. And once I started listening to that, I was like, oh, I should get a nylon string. And once I bought a nylon string guitar, that was kind of the beginning of Wise Blood as it is now, writing folk songs.
There's a definite choral enchantment to your music. Has religion played a part in your life and also musically?
Yeah, my religion, what I grew up as, the music in the church was okay, but singing in choirs in high school and doing kind of early music and old church music, that I think was more informative versus the modern Christianity my parents were involved in. So I guess in some ways, cathedrals and early composers that were composing specifically for churches with ideas of ascension and things like that, that was definitely influential, but not so much the fact that I was raised Christian. Maybe it left me a little bit more open to spirituality or something.
And I really wanted to look at your most recent album, Front Row Seat to Earth. What mood or theme or vision did you want to invoke within the listener?
I wanted it to feel like it was kind of all in one space, kind of a big infinite space that was also still really intimate, like the earth.
Did you develop your songs based on previous experiences? Does it reflect moments in your own life?
Uh-huh. I have moved around a lot and kind of been a wanderer and seeker, constantly seeking new situations and leaving a lot of people behind and leaving places behind, kind of fiercely guarding my right to wander around. And I think that shows up in the songs a lot, as does my confusion about modernity and modern technology and the way we're interacting with the globalized community right now, and the kind of complacency that we're all suffering from.
With your track Generation Y, which has resonated with a lot of people, what ignited the narrative within that song?
I think for me, it was kind of accepting this inevitable, basically the technology was designed to appeal to your natural instincts as a human being to stay interconnected. So it's kind of embracing this idea that there's a reason this technology exists and there's a reason why we're using it the way we're using it. It's nothing to be scared of or ashamed of, even if it might have been created by a manipulative capitalistic force or something. There's still some human in it, and we don't have to, I want people to see the light in the future, even if the future is automated. We can do something to prevent that if we just recognize what the machines, what their purpose is. I was just watching an Adam Curtis documentary, so I'm all full of revolutionary thoughts.
No, it's great. You sing out the acronym YOLO.
Yeah.
What does YOLO mean to you, and why did you want to use it within the piece of music?
I guess I realized that I had finally met some people that were kind of doing that a little bit more than me, because I was kind of a Luddite and holding off on not getting technology and not kind of participating in this stuff. But once I started to, I saw that there was some, you know, historical significance to the idea that a generation that's so entirely disillusioned that they're willing to live a day, you know, like kind of like live out their life in a blaze of glory as opposed to in a safe, measured, kind of cautionary way. That's a really interesting phenomenon. And it's occurred before throughout history, you know, living your last day like your last. I think that crept up in the 20th century, like way before I was even born. So it's just kind of an evolution of carpe diem, but like more extreme.
Do you think that Generation Y, which is my generation and your generation, is haunted by this acronym as well?
Yeah. I think what you're talking about is there's like a perversion in our culture to kind of raise the individual above everything else. So it's kind of like you only live once gets misconstrued to you only live once for yourself. So it's like people are more apt to connect you only live once with, you know, doing something really Dionysian that just you would enjoy, or kind of going out and seeking earthly pleasures for yourself. There's no mentioning of like living for other people once or something. And I think that would be the more like satisfactory experience of life.
Yeah.
But I think that we live in such an individual driven culture, and we're kind of, you know, told that we're special at a very young age. And there's just a lot of factors contributing to that for sure.
Absolutely. Your voice within your pieces?
I try to find, you know, the stuff that's hypnotizing, that kind of draws people in or draws the listener in. And then I also like to kind of open that up and be dynamic and then sort of like blast into the open space.
What kind of relationship do you have with your voice as a musical instrument rather than as like something you use to talk or discuss? Or
interesting. I love it and I also, you know, hate it because it's my own and sometimes it's hard to listen to. But I do my best to be honest and not try to take on any stylistic affectation that's not my own. I tend to keep it kind of like bare and coming from my soul.
As a female musician, have you encountered many gendered barriers within the music industry so far?
Yeah, definitely. There's really subtle things that go on as a female musician. I think that there's a little bit of a handshake vibe between men, kind of men helping each other out, which is really beautiful. It's like a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a wolf pack or something. And I feel like women kind of function more is like lone wolves kind of wandering around and doing and usually being maybe like kind of better than their male equivalents because they have to be respected. Like, you know, Joni Mitchell had to be like twice as incredible to be where she is now, you know. And you can really hear it. There's like a virtuosity and a brilliance to her stuff that's like, obviously she was going through a lot of like deep soul growth that I think some men kind of skate away from, you know?
Absolutely. She really had to kind of open up her whole self mm-hmm. for people to kind of accept her as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What track within the album Front Row Seat to Earth do you think that you identify closest to at the moment?
I like Can't Go Home.
Why is that?
Probably because it's one that I haven't performed live yet, and I'm just starting to work on it right now, and I'm just seeing that it's so wide and open and tangential. There's just a lot of space to explore the feeling. There's no drum or bass to kind of keep it on any given track. It's very airy and ethereal, and I look forward to getting to do that every night because inevitably it'll shape, shift, and change and have more elasticity than some of the other ones.
What is the core musical element to all your music? What's kind of the thing that keeps your music grounded?
The core is probably that I feel like I was born to do it, and there's a part of me that feels like a responsibility to keep to kind of keep trying to make what I hear in my head audible in reality, because I feel like it's a long, laborious process of trying to do anything like that.
Thank you. stars that shine, take me back.
Thanks so much to the angelic, poised ways, Wise Blood. Oh, I keep on making that mistake. Wise Blood for speaking with me a couple of weeks ago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.